That. Aham. I, Prahlad Maharaj. Priyasya. Of the dearmost. Suvridaha. Well wisher. Paradevatayaha. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lila Kattaha. Narrations of the pastimes. Tava. Your. Nrsingha. O my Lord Nrsingadeva. Virenchagitaha. Given by Lord Brahma. By the disciplic succession. Anjaha. Easily. Tittaramdi. Tittarmi, yes. I shall cross. Anugrahanan. Constantly describing. Guna. By the modes of material nature. Vipramukta. Specifically being uncontaminated. Durgani. All miserable conditions of life. Te. Of you. Padayugalaya. Fully absorbed in meditation on the lotus feet. Hongsasangaha. Having the association of the Hongsas. Or liberated persons who have no connection with material activities. So, translation. O my Lord Nrsingadeva, by engaging in your transcendental loving service in the association of devotees who are liberated souls, hungsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of material nature and be able to chant the glories of your lordship, who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of omniscience. So you can repeat. O my Lord Nrsingadeva, by engaging in your transcendental loving service, in the association of devotees, who are liberated souls, hungsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of material nature and be able to chant the glories of your lordship, who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of nescience. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. A devotee's life and duty are very well explained herein. As soon as a devotee can chant the holy name and glories of the Supreme Lord, he certainly comes to the liberated position. Attachment for glorifying the Lord by hearing and chanting the holy name and activities of the Lord, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnuho, certainly brings one to the position where material contamination is absent. One should chant the bona fide songs received from the disciplic succession. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the chanting is powerful when one follows the disciplic succession, evam parampara praptam imam rajasya viduhu. Manufacturing many ways of chanting will never be effective. However, chanting the song or the narration left by the previous acharyas, mahajanayena, Gata Supanta, is extremely effective, and this process is very easy. Therefore, in this verse, Prahlad Maharaj uses the word Undha easily, accepting the thoughts of exalted authorities through disciplic succession is certainly much easier than the method of mental speculation, by which one tries to invent some means to understand the absolute truth. The best process is to accept the instructions of the previous acharyas and follow them. Then God-realization and self-realization become extremely easy. By following this easy method, one is liberated from the contamination of the material modes of nature. And thus one can certainly cross the ocean of nescience, in which there are many miserable conditions. By following the footsteps of the great acharyas, one associates with the hungsas or paramahungsas, those who are completely freed from material contamination. Indeed, by following the instructions of the acharyas, one is always freed from all material contamination, and thus one's life becomes successful, for one reaches the goal of life. This material world is miserable, regardless of one's standard of life. Of this there is no doubt. Attempts to mitigate the miseries of material existence by material methods will never be successful. One must take to Krishna consciousness to become really happy, otherwise happiness is impossible. One might say that becoming advanced in spiritual life also involves tapasya, voluntary acceptance of some inconvenience. However, such inconvenience is not as dangerous as material attempts to mitigate all miseries. So, soham priyasya suvida paradevataya lilakatastava nasringa vadincha gitaha anjastataram yanugranan guna vipramukto Duganite para yugalaya hamsa sangaha. So, Om Maganati Miranda Shah Gananjana Shulakaya Chakshun and Miditam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. So, here in this particular verse, the importance of the association of sadhus or devotees is mentioned. And of course, as we hear in the Bhagavad Gita, the reason for our contamination in this material world is also association. And the Bhagavad Gita tells us that association with the three modes of gunasanga is the exact wording used in the Gita. Association with the three modes of material nature is the cause of our entanglement in this material world. So, it is not that we, let's say, directly seek out the three modes of nature. We seek out people in the three modes of nature, food in the three modes of nature, times in the three modes of nature. I mean, there's all sorts of aspects of the material creation that are pervaded by one or a combination of the three modes of nature. And for example, we have this process of rising early in the morning. And we've experienced in our preaching to the university students, they have a process of going to sleep very late at night and rising very late in the morning. And so it's a challenge for those who are preaching Krishna consciousness to the millennials, isn't it? Just like last night, we were at Krishna West, and you know, life was just beginning at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, in the night, isn't it? The evening was young, and then this morning we're here, struggling to somehow or other stay awake during Bhagavatam class, and poor Mahamantra, he has to go and another evening of distributing prasadam. Of course, not poor Mahamantra; it's actually ecstatic. So. It's interesting, and of course in the Bhagavad Gita also we have this interesting verse that nasato vijite bhavo na bhavo vijite sataha ubiyar api trishtuantas 20-ostavadarshipi. What is nighttime for the self-realized sage is daytime for the ordinary person, and vice versa. And this applies both in a figurative and a literal sense. Figurative means not only in terms of day and night, but just like the interests that people have, the food that people have, the music that people have is like nighttime for the self-realized. Nighttime means it's just like horrible darkness. And it becomes light for the conditioned soul. So anyway, and then also in the literal sense, literally, you know, people are sleeping when devotees are awake and are awake when devotees are sleeping. You know, the very opposite. So because it actually involves the modes of nature. Just like we were reading yesterday, talking about Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, how he said that if one is actually serious about Krishna consciousness, one will be chanting at the time when it's more potent, which is early in the morning. Of course, I mean, there's exceptions. If one's out late preaching, I understand that maybe possible or practical to chant your rounds later in the day. Prabhupada also said if you chant your rounds early, then the rest of the day you won't have so much anxiety. Of course, there may be some anxiety, but that anxiety will be centered on Krishna. It's better to be in anxiety for Krishna, isn't it? That anxiety is purifying. Of course, it may not be ecstatic, but it's at least purifying. So anyway, there's these three modes of nature, and then involving everything. So whoever we associate with, just like I was also talking to one of the ladies last night, ladies, girls, I guess, last night, and she was saying, you know, it's very hard for me to be vegetarian. She said, I want to be vegetarian. But it's very hard because, you know, the people I'm with all the time, and she works, you know, of course, a regular job, and she lives some distance away from the devotees, they're eating meat. So I don't even think about it, even though I know that the meat or the production of meat entails such violence. I mean, she's actually seen these videos on the internet, you know, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, where the poor little chickens, baby chicks, they call them, you know, little tiny cute little furry balls, and they're just going like that, and they're all put into it, like by the millions, basically. And I'm not just exaggerating. They're put on a conveyor belt that goes into something that just grinds them up alive. You know, people are aware of that. People are aware that that's happening. I mean, the internet is practically all pervading now, of course, except in the Hare Krishna temple. It's down this morning. But so no one's able to hear the class, but everywhere else outside of the temple, it's all pervading. So they're aware of all these things, yet they can't change. And that's all due to association. You know, people actually need, you know, friendship and society. It's a real need. They can't just, like, go be hermits. It's a very rare person who can be a hermit. A hermit is someone who goes to the mountains or goes to some isolated place, like in North Carolina, and just is by himself. And then, you know, you come 3 years later and find he has a beard, you know, down to the ground, and he hasn't taken a bath or whatever. That's your typical perception of a hermit. So very few people are like that. Actually, Prabhupada would often say society, friendship, and love divinely bestowed by God upon man. So people have these basic social needs. As we're seeing in this day and age, most people's social needs, at least the young people that we're dealing with, are not actually being met because of the internet, you know, the interaction that they have with the electronic media. And of course, we were also speaking to one of the people coming last night, how she was engaged in, I guess, counseling people over the telephone about the drug contraindications, in other words, the side effects from different drugs. She works for a company that does that. And I was explaining that actually you're missing like at least 55% of communication, which is actually body language. You know, body language is very important, like, you know, where you, especially if you're in Italy, because then you speak with your hands instead of your mouth. But even, you know, even anywhere in America, body language is extremely important, you know, where you put your hands, what your face looks like, etc. So, and also the eyes are the window to the soul, and actually you're losing that window when you're just talking on the phone or just engaged in that. So people have this real lack. So wherever there's an opportunity to associate with others, they take that opportunity, even if it's a very degrading opportunity. You know, they go to bars. I mean, just like I sometimes read in the travel magazines how people go to London and they go to all the pubs. That's an English word for bars. And a pub crawl, you know, they go around to all the pubs, and this way they can associate with it. And also it loosens the tongue when you take alcohol. So people have this, like, need. And this need is leading to bad association. And that bad association facilitates them or encourages them or contaminates them in such a way that they perform these sinful activities. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yarendriya priti apranoti. And so how to save these people? You know, to save these people, I was explaining also last night, you have to live in association of people who are transcendentalists or people who are of the same mode as you. You know, people who want to avoid eating meat. And so the Krishna consciousness movement, it's not just the church, it's actually a movement to establish a society of devotees. Like Prabhupada said, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's interesting how Prabhupada expressed everything. You know, first you have movement, because it's moving. Moving means going forward, increasing. Not just, Prabhupada didn't call it the Krishna Conscious Church or something like that. And then the society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And society means that we give people an opportunity to interact and develop good qualities with sadhus. And of course that means that also we have to be sadhus. Not that we just are in the lowest level of devotional service, you know, Kanishtha Adhikaris or just, you know, we're just Hare Krishnas. But we actually have saintly qualities. As Prabhupada mentions here, and of course this is mentioned all over the Vedic literatures, that by association with sadhus, one follows what the sadhus are doing. Not only follows what the sadhus are doing, but according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one gets bhakti. And bhakti is, you know, loosely translated as love of God. But it's something that really comes from the heart, something that is actually an energy of the Lord. It's not that you can get love or love of God just by singing some song on Valentine's Day about love. You know, like all you need is love, love. All you ever need is love. The transcendental love, not the material love. The material love you can get from the modes of nature. That just comes from that's a perverted reflection of bhakti. You know, I love my dog, I love my cat. Sorry about that one. So, because it's nice and furry, and it purrs. Like that. And then it does things for me like, you know, I remember when I was young, I had a cat, you know, I put my toe under a bed sheet and it would chase the toe under the bed sheet, you know, jumping on it like that. You know, it was real cute and I loved it. So, but I actually didn't love a lot of other things. I mean, just like right now, I have some termites in my house. So I'm trying to develop love for them. That's really hard. Although the termite has the same feeling as the cat, as someone's friend, you know, the same feelings. The termite is just thinking, you know, where's food? And of course, for the termite, the food is wood. For us, the food is sugar and spices and everything. Anyway, so for us, we have different food. But the termite is thinking, well, I wouldn't say thinking, but feeling, you know, like we do when we want to go for food. And the termite probably has like a migraine headache sometimes. You know, who knows? I mean, it's been a long time since I've been in a termite body to experience these things. So, but it's like that. you know, terminates in anxiety, and then it's, you know, it goes, it gets wings, and the wings fall off, and then the termites wondering what happened to my wings. So anyway, so these are all material things. This, you know, this love that we have based upon the body, based upon it pleasing us or not pleasing us, and so. But spiritual love or bhakti is a completely different quality. It's as we say, unalloyed. You know, it's not about us anymore, or me anymore. And it's about Krishna. And then also, it's about every, you know, it's universal love. I explained this last night too. It's universal love. And because it connects us with all aspects of the creation. All persons, all living entities, because they're all connected with Krishna. And it's the peace formula. Peace between all different persons, because we can actually appreciate their connection with Krishna. Even different religions. It's the way to overcome, you know, sexism, racism, speciesism, and all those other nice things. So this is bhakti. But it's an energy. It's not an imposition of the mind. That one can adjust like that and say, you know, I'm just looking at my cockroach. I want to love you. I want to love you. Why am I not loving you? Why am I hating your guts? You know, because you destroy my house. But so it's not an artificial. You can't adjust your mind like that. Many of us have tried. You know, I'm supposed to love this snake. I'm supposed to love this cockroach. It doesn't work like that. It has to be an energy. It's not simply. It's not also not simply thinking, oh, everybody's connected to Krishna, therefore I love Krishna. It's an energy that has to be imbibed from the devotees. It's bhakti shakti. And it doesn't come from Krishna. Although ultimately everything comes from Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pavartate. But Krishna doesn't directly take charge of it. He gives it to his devotee. Of course, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur explains this. And so by the association of the devotees, and service to the devotees, that shakti manifests itself in your heart. I mean, it's actually quite interesting. So the devotee, I was thinking about this last night in regard to a devotee. There's two aspects to the devotee. There's the external aspect, which is, you know, the body and everything like that. Let's talk about the spiritual master. There's the external aspect, which is temporary. You know, we know Vapu is temporary, whether we're talking about the spiritual master or any other devotee. And then there's the eternal aspect, which, because the spiritual master, the devotee, is representing, first of all, the disciplic succession and Lord Nityananda. So there's Lord Nityananda's mercy flowing through that conduit of the spiritual master. And just like sometimes people may ask, when I pray to a picture of my spiritual master, is he hearing it? Is he actually hearing the prayer? But actually, there's the aspect of the spiritual master, the ontological position of the spiritual master, because he's representing the Supreme Personality of God and ultimately representing Lord Nityananda, who's the original spiritual master. Then Lord Nityananda hears those prayers. The physical presence of your spiritual master, who may be on the planet, may not be aware of that. Or Krishna may make him aware of that, you know, because Krishna's in the heart. You know, Krishna may just like say from the heart, hey, my mantra's praying to you right now. Okay, thanks for the info, Krishna. You know, next time use a text message, you know, it's a lot easier for me to hear. You know, I've never gotten a text message from Krishna. I get too many text messages from other people. So, just like yesterday, and then my phone even speaks the text messages, which drives me crazy. So, but it's the position, just like sometimes the explanation is the spiritual master is one. And what that really means is that he's representing Lord Nityananda, Balaram, who's the original guru, and Lord Nityananda Balaram, or expansion of Lord Nityananda Balaram, is in everyone's heart. Sarvasya Chaham Riddhi Sanavishto, Ishwara Sarvabhutanam Hridesha Arjuna Tishyati. And he's hearing, experiencing, knowing what you think, knowing what you do. And that's the guru tattva, like that. Because, you know, I always wondered about that. Because the guru was not omniscient. In other words, just like Srila Prabhupada, when Prabhupada asked his devotees for information, he wasn't asking them for information just to engage them in service. He was asking them for information to find out the information. You know, he wanted to find out, hey, what's happening in this temple? You know, otherwise he would have written us letters without us writing letters to him. That would have been interesting. You know, thank you for doing this service. But I never wrote to you, Prabhupada. But you're in... Anyway, so... Because... Anyway, if we think the spiritual master is omniscient, that's one of Krishna's qualities. He's not God. He's a representative of God. And we do have a personal relationship. Yes, that is a fact. With a spiritual master, and it's an eternal spirit relationship, and it goes on in the spiritual world, or in my case, in Yamaraja's planets. So... that was a joke. So in any case, so it's the Vaishnava is carrying this Shakti or energy of Lord Nityananda. And so when one associates with the Vaishnavas, it is not simply an external thing, you begin to copy them, because we do that is there too. Ado Shraddhata Sadhu Sangota Bhajana Kriyat, that's mentioned. In the beginning, there's little faith. One associates with the sadhus. Bhajana Kriya, one begins to imitate them. And then there's this whole hierarchy of progress in Krishna consciousness. It's not simply that. It's that one gets that energy. Just like I explained to the people last night, you know, what got me to the point of, you know, surrender. You know, I didn't use that word, surrendering, because that freaks people out. But what got me to the point of doing what I'm doing today was meeting Prabhupada. Yeah, I met Prabhupada in 1971 for the first time, and just experienced that bhakti shakti, you know, energy. I became overwhelmed and did something I didn't want to do, was to join the Hare Krishna movement. Anyway, and it's that shakti that keeps me going. So the association with Prabhupada is not simply physical, although at that point it was physical. And the Shakti came through Srila Prabhupada's physical presence, obviously. And actually, previously, it came through reading Prabhupada's Krishna book, that I also experienced Prabhupada Shakti. So it's through sound vibration, which is the most important medium by which that Bhakti Shakti is transmitted. So one reads Prabhupada's books or hears from Prabhupada, even if you heard the same thing before, even if you memorized it all before, the Shakti becomes, there's something happening on the, I wouldn't say subconscious level, but something that you're not conscious of, because subconscious level means something different. But there's something happening, there's a transmission. You understand? There's a transmission of potency that's coming when you actually associate with Srila Prabhupada. And those who were following Srila Prabhupada, those who were dedicated to Srila Prabhupada, and that potency is coming to your heart, and you get that bhakti shakti, and you're able to feel that love, devotion, unalloyed love, dedication, all those things happen by plugging in. Just like it, you see the plug in the wall, what they call in Europe a PowerPoint. You know, it appears very, very simple, but you plug something in, you get all the juice from the powerhouse. So that's our method. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Seshrikoi, Lava Mantra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. So this is what's recommended here. Prahlad Maharaj is a pure devotee. He's seen the Lord. But he's train here to always be engaged in the association of the devotees. He said, when I associate and serve the devotees, I will be able to chant the glories of your lordship. I will become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of material nature. Also, I got a letter from a disciple the other day, and the disciple said, you know, I just want to chant all day long, but the devotees are saying I should do service. I said, you have to have a balanced program. You chant 16 rounds. Yes, we have to do that. And you serve the Vaishnavas. That way you'll have more of a taste. Your quality of chanting will increase. I mean, if one can chant more, that's great too. We're not decrying that. But the service to the Vaishnavas is so important in being able to chant with attention, chant with devotion, and develop the right attitude towards all living entities. Anyway, so this is what's mentioned here. Prabhupada says, following in the footsteps of great acharyas, one associates with the Hamsas or Paramahamsas, those who are completely freed from material contamination. And so that is our method. It's a very easy method. Prabhupada keeps saying it's easy. He keeps using the word here. It's extremely easy, simple, etc., like that. And the reason it's easy and simple is that we get this bhakti shakti, and then we become overcome by the bhakti shakti, and everything goes, flows naturally. So any questions or comments? Yes?
According to the verse,
engaging
in transcendental living service in the association of
devotees. Yes.
The service precedes the association, or it's essential.
It doesn't say proceed. It doesn't say proceed.
Then the chanting becomes.
That's right. It doesn't say proceed. It doesn't say association devotees comes after engaging in service, because you can't engage in transcendental service without the association devotees. Because you can't serve Krishna. You can't serve Krishna without being connected to devotees. It's just not possible. How can you serve Krishna without being connected to devotees? It's impossible. You can't serve Krishna without going through a devotee. Unless you're an absolutely pure devotee.
Well, get jump started and then you end up.
How can you jump start without the association of devotees? It says here, by engaging in your transcendental loving service in the association of devotees, and according to the acharyas, the association devotees, comes first by service. Ado shraddha tata sadhu sangochta bhajana kriya. So, first there's the association devotees and then service. It doesn't say here in this verse, just because it comes first in the sentence, the service becomes first in the sentence, that service comes before the association devotees, but association devotees comes before service. Because you can't do service without the association of devotees, without accepting the guidance of a devotee. Because Krishna doesn't accept. We're serving Krishna by the mercy of our spiritual master, by the mercy of his divine grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, and our spiritual master.
Association in this instance, or in our practical application, it may not be tangible association.
No, it may not be physical association. Of course, physical association is important because that regulates us and engages us in service. I mean, it's very hard, unless one's a very advanced devotee, to be engaged in devotional service if one's separated from the devotees. Prabhupada made that point about the sticks being together, you couldn't break them. But one stick by itself can easily be broken if we're just living by ourselves. Prabhupada would get upset sometimes when a devotee was off by himself and not associated with the other devotees, he'll fall down.
This is sort of the present day phenomenon.
That?
Individual sticks trying to take the weight of the material world.
Yeah, and then they fall down. So we always have to remain association with the devotees. And of course, Association is also in a non, non-physical sense too, or a non, let's say, gross physical sense that we associate by hearing too. Yeah, but also we should be regularly hearing Prabhupada's or reading Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada said those who don't read regularly, his books are mainly meant for devotees to read, they'll fall down. So we have to regularly cultivate that. Association is also cultivation. You know, like Prabhupada talks about, or Rupa Goswami talks about in the Upadesham. That the six methods of association, you know, we're talking about the external association right now, like giving prasadam, accepting prasadam, giving gifts, accepting gifts, revealing the mind in confidence, hearing from the devotees. These, Prabhupada said, this pushes forward, and I'm paraphrasing, our Krishna consciousness movement. These six types of holy association. And also they bring people to the movement too. You know, our programs are loving exchanges. Not just heavy preaching to people, but you want to bring people to Krishna consciousness, you have to engage in loving exchanges. And you got to preach according to people, not preach, but share according to people's level. Like we see all the great incarnations, Jesus Christ, Muhammad, everybody, Shaktivesh avatars, they taught according to the level of people that they were in contact with. Jesus Christ said, I have much to tell you, but you cannot bear to hear. So we need to follow that example too when we're interacting with people. Okay, on a happy note.